Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Morda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857. Let's get started, guys. The Zone, Anthony Joshua versus Jermaine Franklin, the fight of the weekend here. Anthony Joshua beats Jermaine Franklin by unanimous decision. Scores were 118-111, 117-111 twice. This was Joshua's first fight with his new trainer, Derek James, man. Listen, I know he won by a wide margin on the scorecard, but I had it 117-111 also. But he didn't look overly great in here. He looked confused at times, almost like he was thinking too much. If you watch him in the ring, it's almost like you can see him thinking almost. You know, you can see him hesitating. You can see him thinking too much. Instead of just letting those combinations go, letting the punches go, letting that jab go, it looked like he was thinking, like he was confused in there at times. I like the jab. I like what he was trying to do with it. I'll tell you what I didn't like is those three or four uppercuts he threw from the outside. I'm not sure what he was doing there, but he'll get KO'd like that. That's just a matter of time. He can't do that. I don't know, and I didn't hear what Derek James said to correct that or anything like that, or if that was part of their plan. I don't know. And I'll be honest with you, man, at this point, Anthony Joshua is who he is. That's it. You're not going to change him. He's too old. This should have been done. If you want to change him and mold him, this should have been done when he won the title at such a young age in his career, man. He won that title after like a handful, you know, and he got the title from – who did he get the title from, B? Who was that guy?
Charles Martin,
who wasn't a – you know, he wasn't really a title contender anyway. So they got a free look at that title, basically. And I'm not taking anything away from Jermaine Franklin, but he was brought in as an opponent. He was brought in as a showcase. And he did do a good job, but he should have been demolished by Anthony Joshua. You know, this is a showcase fight on the zone for Anthony Joshua. Showcase. And I actually think he lost ground in this fight. I'll be honest with you. I don't think that you can't look at this Anthony Joshua fight and say, yeah, I think he's the better guy. I want to see him again. I mean, I think this guy could actually, you know, beat Fury. I think this guy could actually go on. No, man, I don't believe that at all, man. I'm not sure how great of a fit Derek James is here, but I actually thought he fought better with Robert Garcia. Why he dropped Robert Garcia, didn't give him a chance. But I'll be honest with you, man, I was not impressed at all with the Joshua I saw yesterday. How much of that has to do with Derek James, I don't know. But he looked confused. He looked bewildered in there. He won. And just the fact that he won by that margin lets you know what kind of, you know, this was a showcase fight for him. Should have been able to put this guy away. Beeb, you saw the fight. What margin lets you know? What are your thoughts on it?
Nobody hates criticizing fighters more than me. I hate coming off as disrespectful. I hate diminishing fighters. I really don't like talking about fighters in a negative light, but I have to be honest. The last 7 years, we were sold a veil of deception from Matchroom, from Eddie Hearn. We were sold something that really wasn't there. And shout out to Joe Calix, because he said something to me last Monday. We did a video together, and I have a lot of respect for Joe Calix. I would put him on my YouTube boxing community Mount Rushmore. The guy says a lot of smart things, and a lot of things he says, I sometimes take and put them in my pocket and use them for future use. And I'm going to say something that he said to me. I don't like when somebody packages something to me and it's not what it's supposed to be. It's not what it's being packaged in a way that it's not. And that's what Anthony Joshua has been. And that's no disrespect. I'll vote him into the Hall of Fame tomorrow based off of his accomplishments, based off of what he's done in his era, because you can only fight the people in your era, right?
Well, a lot of good guys.
A lot of solid guys. But the way they were marketing him, like he was, you know, an all-time great heavyweight, like he was the best heavyweight. He was this combination puncher. He was just so much more skilled than everybody. He's going to knock out everybody. He's a demolition. He's like a demolition man, right? So I tweeted out yesterday that I believe Vladimir Klitschko pushed him to the edge of the cliff, and then Andy Ruiz pushed him off that cliff. So after that Klitschko fight, I think he became very apprehensive because he was too concerned about blowing his gas tank, right? Emptying out his gas tank and just gassing out, right? So after that fight, the combination puncher went away, and then he just started kind of loading up with one shot, right? And then after the Ruiz fight, he actually turned into a jabbing grabber, right? Almost like a poor man's version of what Vladimir Klitschko turned into after he suffered a couple knockout losses. And this was another guy who was questioning his own gas tank. And a lot of times, like, he would hurt somebody. And even in that Joshua fight, after he hurt Joshua, he took his foot off the gas pedal because he was concerned about gassing out, right? So if you're always going to have that in the back of your mind that, you know, what if I get tired here and I run out of gas? Or what if I get hit by a punch and I get stunned and I can't recover? You know, a lot of times fighters will get knocked out and they're never the same again, right? We've seen that happen before, mm-hmm. right? We've seen fighters have tough outings and they just never, like, certain fights will leave that guy just was ruined in that fight, right? But then we've seen other guys like Lennox Lewis, who got knocked out twice, come back and knock the avenge the loss and knock out the opponents who knocked him out, right? Manny Pacquiao got knocked out by Marquez, came back and never really lost a step in terms of his mentality, never became less aggressive because of it. But Joshua has been fighting these last 6 or 7 years like a man who's lost his soul. And I'm just being honest. But, you know, after that, those two losses from Usyk, right, we were told, we are going to bring this guy back against a top 15 guy. Again, no disrespect to Jermaine Franklin, right? I have the Dillian White fighter draw, right? But Jermaine Franklin's not even a full-time fighter. This guy is a full-time roofer / factory worker. This is the first camp that he's ever had where he just didn't have to work, right? And this guy's not even in the top 30. Not ranked in any of the sanctioning bodies. He's not even ranked in the top 30 in BoxRec, right? And again, I'm so glad. I'm just a guy with a local 22 jacket myself trying to make a living. So I'm for the working man. I love seeing a working man like Jermaine Franklin get a shot like this. But Anthony Joshua, two-time heavyweight champion of the world, former Olympic gold medalist, right? Top 5 fighter in the heavyweight division. And then you're coming back against a guy who's not even in the top 30. And you can't just get him out of there and beat him up? Really? And the sad thing about it is, yeah, the jab was looking okay early on. It was looking okay early on. But when Jermaine Franklin landed a right hand, instead of punching right back, his first instinct was to grab and hold. As soon as Jermaine Franklin got close to him, his first instinct was to grab and hold and look over to the ref like, hell, hey, come on, come over here. Let's break this up. To Jermaine Franklin's credit, right, when he got hit with a big right hand, what did he do? He tried to come right back with his own right hand, right? Jermaine Franklin already is an overachiever in life because he fought Dillian White, and I thought it was a draw. Some people thought he won. I thought it was at least a draw. That's my opinion. And he was in there with the former two-time heavyweight champ of the world, and he went 12 hard rounds with him, and he actually landed some good right hands himself. And he did the best. He fought to the best of his ability. Did the best he could. And then you hear people say, like Eddie Hearn saying, "Well, he wasn't fighting to win." Neither was Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua was fighting not to lose, in my opinion. He wasn't fighting to win. He was fighting not to lose. All right, and he was just in there with a guy that, you know, didn't have the ability to beat him. You don't go 12 rounds with Jermaine Franklin. You don't fight Jermaine Franklin as if you're fighting Mike Tyson, right? You just don't. Aaron Daly,
come on, man.
Like, stop it, brother. Stop it, brother.
Aaron Daly says, Franklin stops Dubois.
Stop it, brother.
And outpoints Wilder. He can mix it at the top. Stop it, man.
He's not, again, no disrespect to Jermaine Franklin. He's not even in the top 30.
Stop it.
Not even in the top 30. I don't even know if Joshua can beat Dubois. I'm not even confident saying I think Joshua can beat Dubois right now.
Oh, yeah. I would think Joshua can beat Dubois.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm not sure if he can. Not this version.
That's true.
My opinion. I'm being honest. I'm not even sure if he beats Dillian White.
I'll let you read that. Alexander Wilson, thank you so much. He said AJ didn't look good against Takam or Joseph Parker. Those were underwhelming performances. Carlos Takam makes everybody look bad. I mean, he just does. So I'm giving a pass. I'll give him a pass for that. The Joseph Parker one, he should have got Joseph Parker
listen,
out of there.
Dillian White almost knocked out Jermaine Franklin in that last fight. If Dillian White rematched Jermaine Franklin and got up for the fight and actually trained and was in shape, he would knock out Jermaine Franklin.
Yes.
A motivated Dillian White is 50-50 right now against Anthony Joshua, in my opinion. Just my opinion. When you have your promoter being asked after the fight, Eddie, how did you feel after that 12th round? What were your thoughts? I felt relieved. You felt relieved? Why would you feel relieved? Eric, I mean, after the show, right, if we talked, and I told you, I felt relieved after the show. Like, we never say things like that. I may have fought that when Robbie was on the show.
Right.
After the show, I felt relieved when Robbie was there.
Sure.
But after the show, I feel relieved after I get a colonoscopy or something like that. I don't feel relieved after I do a task. You know what I'm saying? After I complete a day of work, I feel relieved. And then your own promoter is saying things like, he's being asked, do you think there was an issue with his confidence? Oh, he's not supposed to have confidence. He just lost 2 in a row. He's not supposed to have confidence. The former two-time heavyweight champion of the world. Oh, he was gun shy. They don't believe in him anymore. And the fact that they're saying that they have to fight Fury now because they may not ever get the chance again.
Those are all red flags, man.
That's code word for we know this guy is pretty much not going to compete at this top level. Let's cash him out now. And here's the thing. They have to make that Fury fight next, in my opinion, because if he fights against a Dillian White.
He might not get out of the fight.
If he suffers another loss, right, he won't get that Fury fight. That's probably the biggest money fight right now, in my opinion, in the heavyweight division, Fury versus Joshua. That's just my opinion.
I mean, if Fury wants to sign a line, if he doesn't forget his pen again like he did against Usyk and all that other good stuff. Shoeshine Boxing. Joshua doesn't look top five at all. Jared Anderson KOs him. Jared Anderson KOs anybody in the division right now. Yeah. Jared Anderson, title town. Best heavyweight out, son.
So if Joshua does fight Fury and he loses, he could still go revisit that White fight and that Wilder fight because then they can say, well, you know, these guys got knocked out by Fury too. But if he gets knocked out before he gets to that Fury fight, you can't sell it. So they know it's cash out time. I mean, like you said,
you can see it in this fight, it's cash out time.
Eddie Hearn did not look happy. And then this whole thing about, he's got to get used to the new trainer. Come on, bro.
Listen, he did not look good with that trainer. I mean, he didn't look good at all yesterday.
Did
he look better against Usyk in the second one or tonight or yesterday night? You know what I mean?
He looked better against Usyk, but this guy was again fighting like a man
who was afraid, who was concerned about losing. Like, he didn't want to take any chances. I think they know that the Fury fight's out there, so they didn't want to, like, risk losing the Fury fight. So they kind of played it safe there, whatever.
You think he was overlooking Jermaine Franklin?
No, I think he was looking past him.
What's what I mean, yeah.
I think he was protecting the Fury fight, partially. But also, I still think that he's got confidence issues. And his promoter's got confidence issues. And everyone around him's got confidence issues. So when Fury changed trainers in the second Wilder fight, what did he do? He ended up knocking out Wilder, right? So trainers know what they got. Trainers know what they have to work with. And anyone can train Terrence Crawford, and that guy is going to be Terrence Crawford.
Yeah, he's just who he is.
You know what I'm saying? Joshua is who he is, and I know you guys love this guy. And the press after the fight, Gareth Davis walks up to him after the fight. Hey, this was fascinating. There was nothing fucking fascinating about that fight. Shut the fuck up, you fucking D-Riders.
Oh,
and then after the press
conference. That's too far. Come on.
Maybe a little bit. But after the at the press conference, right? Oh, AJ, did you see the crowd out there? Oh, it's great to be back. And, like, again, like, these guys are just, like, fucking coddling this guy.
Yeah.
And, oh, the defense was great. Like, I have never seen a guy, honestly. And, again, this isn't hate. This is just, I am just incredulous seeing a guy, like, coming off of two losses and putting on a performance like this, and just people just still fawning over this guy and, like, looking at this guy, like, he's not what you thought he was. He's not that guy. He's just not.
He's
and it's okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying it's okay that he's not that guy that you thought he was. But that still doesn't mean he's not good. He's just not what you thought he was. He's not this monster. He's never been the man in this division. I always thought Wilder would beat him. And when you look at Wilder and Fury, look at what they went through in those three fights, right? Look at how they got knocked down and they came and these guys are just, it's just instilled, it's just inbred in them. Like, not everyone can have that. Not everyone can have that. And it's okay. But this guy, when you compare him to his peers, there's a lot of guys in the top 10 right now that I think could beat him. I would pick Joyce over him, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, Fury, Usyk.
I think Anderson's people, I put that fight together, man. I try my best to get that fight together. Because Anderson beats him right now.
I would pick Wilder over him.
Yeah.
I would pick Joyce over him.
I don't know who I don't pick over him right now.
I would even pick Dubois over him, and Dillian White's a coin flip. If I got odds on Dillian White,
Who is Dubois? Is that the dude who quit against Joyce? Was that the dude? Got his eye messed up and then quit?
He was up in the fight, and his eye was literally falling out of the socket.
Yeah, I think that might be getting a little, you know, maybe reaching a little bit, but I think that's the same guy that quit against Joyce, right? That's Dubois.
You've already been sent cease and desist letters for the defamation of Daniel Dubois.
I'm just saying.
And even Daniel Dubois got knocked down a couple times in his last fight, and he gets up and stops the opponent in the third round. Like, this guy is a warrior. He was up in that Joyce fight. His eye was freaking literally hanging out of the socket.
What happened?
He had retinal bleeding. He was up on two of the cards.
He just bought out. Right?
I'm picking Dubois over Joshua right now.
Did he win that fight? I don't know what happened. What happened with the fight where he was He said his eye was
full. Went longer against Joyce.
The referee stopped it against Ruiz. The referee stopped it? Or he stopped it?
Joshua literally turned his back to Ruiz.
But, like, he stopped it, though, or the referee stopped it? I think that he walked out.
It was kind of a mutual thing.
It was a mutual thing. Yeah. Going too far with Dubois' team.
I mean, the guy had a torn ACL and he still got the third round stoppage.
Dubois, Ohio's finest. Would I take steroid Anderson? No, come on. Now you're going to try to defame Big Baby Anderson because he's from Titletown? Come on.
I think he's confusing him with Big Baby Miller.
That's right. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know, man. They got to make that Fury fight next because it's cash out time.
Well, what do you think Fury does next? Because he just ducked Usyk. So what now? I mean,
like I've said,
because
I know Fury is going to be made to look like the bad guy here, and justifiably
he is.
He's playing that role.
I mean, you admit this is a duck, right? It's a complete duck.
I don't think so.
You don't think it's a duck? When I have a contract and I say, hey, we're putting this together, you're going to get 70%. I'm going to get 70%. You're going to get 30%. I just give you the lousy end, and the guy takes everything and said, all right, let's fight.
I mean,
and I say,
Usyk's promoter let the cat out the bag.
No, that's okay. I'm good. I don't want to.
He said we pulled out of the negotiation.
Because they weren't going anywhere. Because he wasn't,
they told you they let the cat out the bag, and this is another scam, just like the Fury Joshua thing was. They knew that this fight could never be in the UK. It was always going to be in Saudi, and Saudi was not going to have the fight in the spring. This fight's going to happen in December. It was all part of the plan, bro.
Yeah, I would hope so.
If you're Usyk, I got to ask you this. If you have fiduciary responsibility over Usyk and you have a deal for $60 million in play versus a deal for $20 million in play, can you honestly advise him to take that $20 million deal when you know there's a $60 million deal on the table? I mean, there's just too much money to be left on the table doing this fight in the UK. In my opinion, this fight was never going to be in the UK. Not with the Saudi money out there.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a big
deal.
That's
just my opinion.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more later. Boxing,
right.
Thank you so much. Who is Ring IQ and D-Style's favorite superheroes? How would I know? How would I know who Ring IQ and D-Style's favorite superheroes are? How on earth would I know that? Steve, do you know who his favorite superhero is? Why don't you just ask me what he eats for breakfast in the morning? I have no clue. What's his favorite breakfast in the morning? I don't know. Boxing Pound cool. Says Ring IQ is a pimp. Is that Ellie Sekback doing the boxing?
No, Ring IQ is a friend of the show, man. He's on the ring. He's on the round table a lot of times. He's really good.
All friends with everybody. I love D-Style. I like Ring IQ. I love Calix. I love all these guys. But I can't tell you their favorite superhero. I wish I could.
I should interview him and run it down.
Hey, guys, let me run this down here. What do you guys like for breakfast? Who's your favorite superhero?
Ring IQ is cool. My favorite. Oh, who's my favorite superhero? Let me think. I'll probably have to say the Silver Surfer. I love the Silver Surfer.
Out of all the ones you could pick, you pick Silver Surfer.
Can I tell you why?
No, because that's lame. No, it's lame. No matter what, whatever you comes out of your mouth. I'll say it again. Whatever comes out of your mouth, out of Silver Surfer is my favorite. Doesn't even matter. Because that's such a lame pick.
Do you realize what Norman Rad did? He sacrificed himself to save his home planet.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
Galactus was going to destroy that planet of Zen-La. And what did the Silver Surfer do? What did the Silver Surfer do? He said, I will serve you, Galactus, if you spare my planet. There's no superhero on the face of the galaxy would ever do that. Superman got the easy way out. His planet was about to be exploded. What happened to him? They sent him to Earth. Got the easy way out, right? Got three hots in a cot, right? Living in Smallville or wherever, living in Metropolis.
Let me tell you who my favorite superhero is, Captain Marvel. You see her in that outfit, boy? You kidding me?
Please.
Captain Marvel? She can rescue me anytime, boy. Are you kidding me? Come on, stop it, babe. Stop it. You know I got that one. Boom. It's over. Silver Surfer got no chin.
What did he say?
He said Silver Surfer's got no chin.
I don't know. He's He's endowed with the power cosmic, please.
Who would you take? Why am I a sexist pig? I say Captain Marvel is my favorite, and all of a sudden I'm the bad guy. Now I'm the bad guy. That makes no sense. Eric's favorite superhero is Ock and Brock. There you go. Who would you take? Would you take Anthony Joshua or Big Baby Miller in a fight? You think it's a pick 'em? Really? I think Joshua annihilates him, man.
Joshua would be favored.
Should be favored. You think it's a pick 'em fight? No. Oh, stop it. Corey Lee Boxing, sorry. Thank you so much. He said sorry. Awesome show. Venom is the best, and Usyk too. There you go. Facts.
Usyk came around. I don't want to be disrespectful to Usyk, but he was in the right place at the right time, man. Fought a guy who couldn't pull the trigger.
Fought Anthony Joshua.
Couldn't pull the trigger.
One of the best heavyweights out there. Beat him twice, like convincingly. He could pull the trigger in the first fight. He could pull the trigger in the first fight.
Well, he must have forgot how to do it because he didn't do it.
Cold-blooded. On the undercard of that DAZN card, Fabio Wardley, one via TKO over Michael Coffey. Galalia Fai beats Moises Calleros in the fourth round TKO. Campbell Hatton, son of Ricky Hatton, won in the first round, won via first round knockout over Lewis Spelding, and he won with a body shot. How surprising is that? All right, let's go to ESPN. Robesy Ramirez versus Isaac Dogbay. Is it Dogbay or Dogbo? I thought it was Dogbay.
Dogbay.
I thought everybody was they're like interchanging his name, but I thought again it was Dogbay.
No, it's Dogbay.
For the vacant WBO featherweight title, Robesy Ramirez wins the unanimous decision over Dogbay, 117-110, 118-109, and 119-108. This fight honestly went exactly how I expected it. Wasn't really overly impressed with Ramirez. I expected him to win. I think Dogbay is a step slow. I think he's on his way out. I think it's a good name to have, but as far as top tier, I don't think he's top tier anymore. Ramirez is now the WBO featherweight champ. Beeb, you got to watch this. Were you? I wasn't that impressed with Ramirez, and I got to be honest with you. I have a hard time looking at him and thinking this is the guy that beat Shakur in the amateurs in that gold medal fight.
I'll tell you, I like Ramirez. I think he's a very, very crafty fighter. He's a counterpuncher, very efficient fighter, uses a lot of subtle movement, likes space, but he can mix it up on the inside. You know what I like about him? I like his instincts. Like, he's really good at timing. And people say, oh, well, you know, that's kind of a simplistic way of looking at it, but he just knows how to position himself. Like, he's just really good at being at the right, like being at the right place at the right time. So when you try to like come in on him, cut the ring off on him, he just makes that little move that kind of forces you to reset. But he's able to line you up with his shot before you can reset and try to track him down. And he's got kind of like a what I like to call like a snake charmer type jab, where he kind of lulls you to sleep with it, throws it out there soft, and gets you. You know, he gives you that false sense of security, like, okay, all that's coming at me is this little soft jab. But then you're getting kind of mesmerized with it, and then all of a sudden he sneaks that left hand down the pike. Sort of like, you know, Klitschko used to do with his jab. He would just kind of like tap you, and all of a sudden shoot the right hand in there. He's really good at doing that. And I just think in this fight, as much as I like Dogbay, he got me doing it now. As much as I like Dogbay, I just think he was a step too slow in this fight. I think he did his best. He looped the right hand around that high guard on occasion, but those instances were far and few between, and he just couldn't sustain his offense consistently in this fight. And Ramirez, I thought, was just too much for him in terms of the skill department, and the fight played out the way it played out. So there was really no surprises here.
Yeah, I wasn't that impressed with Ramirez. And again, this was a showcase for Ramirez. They spent a lot of time. I know ESPN spent a lot of time on Dogbay, and they had the who's that fool that does the human interest piece for him? What's his name?
Kriegel, your favorite guy, Mark Kriegel.
That guy. you know, his whole thing is trying to get people to cry and shut up. You know, like I don't need to hear the human interest stuff. Show me the fights. You're not going to get a Pulitzer for this. Just relax. So
a little dramatic.
Yeah, he's so dramatic. Everything he does is so dramatic. You know, like it should be taking place on Broadway or something.
Like he's the type of guy that would like go to like fucking Publix and pick up some groceries and like make a big deal about it. You know what I mean? That's how he is. That's how this guy is.
Yeah, so I'm not, you know. But they seem to do a lot on Dog Bay, and I'm like, there's no way Dog Bay's a favorite in this fight. There's no way.
No.
This is definitely a showcase for the other guy, you know. But, yeah, man.
Is Barry Hunter, like, one of the best trainers ever, man? You can tell us, like, before the start of the 12th round, if you go down, I'm going to pick you up. That's like, the dude's, like, so motivated, man.
Nah. You know who's motivating is my man Teddy Atlas.
Don't do it.
Talk about
don't
motivating.
He's
the fireman,
bro.
The fireman. We go where the heat is because then we know we're in the right place.
On,
because
bro.
We're firemen, we go where the heat is. Stop it, son.
Who talks about a fireman
stop
during a boxing
it, son.
Match? Like, how does that
stop
even
it.
Like correlate together?
Just, you just he's just on another level, son. Just on
Please.
Another level. You need to start reading some books. All right, Joette Gonzalez versus Jose Enrique Vivas, 10 rounds, featherweights. Joette Gonzalez wins a unanimous decision here, 99-91, 98-92, twice. Steve, Joette Gonzalez, I like Joette Gonzalez, but there's a cap on him. You know what I mean? He
yeah.
has a ceiling on him, for sure.
Yeah.
My guess is maybe they'll try to Joette Gonzalez versus Robesy Ramirez or whatever. But, you know, he's not beating Robesy. He's just not. There's a cap
no.
on him. He's like
no.
a gatekeeper. He's good enough to be a gatekeeper. If you got a guy coming up that you think could be something, put him in there with him, and we'll see if he is. He's that
he's a good
guy.
Pressure fighter. He's a good pressure fighter, but if, you know, if you're quick and you have good footwork and you know how to turn your opponent, I just think that he has some strengths, but I hate saying this, but he's somewhat one-dimensional in what he can do in there. He's virtually an inside guy, and if he can't get close to you, he's not going to be effective.
Look at boxing. The great Teddy Atlas.
Yeah.
Teddy Atlas puts the water in the basement, son.
He's a grandstander.
He puts water in the basement, son.
They had to let him go from ESPN, man, because he tried to make it all about him.
No.
It's not all about
no.
you. It's about the fighters.
No.
It's about the fighters. It's
he
not
actually,
all about you.
He didn't even get fired by ESPN. He didn't renew his contract, son. They were going to renew his contract. He said, no, I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to go
he
on
was
the
released.
Podcast circuit.
He left in lieu of termination.
No.
They
no.
gave him an option to leave, but
no.
we're going to get
I
rid of
I talked to HR over there. They told me the whole deal. That's right. All right. Pay-per-view last night. I don't know how many of you guys caught this or not. I didn't catch it, but I read about it. Roy Jones Jr. versus Anthony Pettis. Anthony Pettis, if you don't know, is he was a UFC fighter, UFC champion. He's known as the for the kick heard around the world against Benson Henderson, where he jumped on the cage, kicked him, and it came off like Bruce Lee or something like that. It was pretty cool if you didn't see it. But Anthony Pettis wins a majority decision over Roy Jones Jr., 76-76, 77-75, and 78-74. Now, listen, I didn't pay for this, but from everything I've read, it sounds like Roy Jones won this fight pretty easy, but they gave it the hometown favorite, Anthony Pettis. They were fighting in Milwaukee last night. It's just like a – doesn't go on anybody's record. It was like an exhibition, I believe. I don't think it went on anybody's record. But, you know, it is what it is. A fun little fight, I guess.
Look at all these stands in the chat defending Teddy Atlas. This is really great. Oh,
Teddy Atlas rocks. Teddy Atlas fired ESPN. Dwayne's got it. Dwayne's got the info, son. Look at this. Teddy wasn't fired, baby. Look at you hating on Teddy. Yeah, Roy Jones is like 54 or 56. He's somewhere in there.
Yeah, that I don't think that was available in my area. I was trying to find a way to pay for it, but I couldn't.
I don't know. I guess it was online, maybe. I wonder if it was like online or something like that. Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, if there was a way for me to pay for it, you best believe I would have bought it.
Yeah, and it was put on by Game Bread Promotions, I guess Jorge Masvidal's promotion, the guy, the UFC
oh, really?
Guy. And he's fighting, I think, next week. He wasn't even at the fights. He's fighting, like,
okay.
Gilbert Burns next week. Good luck with that
all
one,
right.
man. Gilbert Burns is going. Yeah.
It'll be a tough one for him.
Yeah, it's going to be a real tough one. Real tough one. So there you go. All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here, and then let's go to the phones. Let's see here. ESPN, where are you? There we go. April 8th. I believe this is Saturday. Shakur Stevenson versus Shuichiro Yoshino, 12 rounds for the WBC lightweight title eliminator. Co-featured is Jared Big Baby Anderson, the real Big Baby, versus George Arias, 10 rounds heavyweights. George Arias, I believe, was close to contending for a title, so this is, I don't know if he was or not, but I'm sure he's very good. They don't put Jared Anderson against, you know, stiffs. Keyshawn Davis versus Anthony Yigit, 10 rounds lightweights. Damian Naiba. What's going on with our screen here? There we go. Damian Naiba versus Curtis Harper. Troy Isley versus Roy Behringer. And that's about it. I thought Duke Reagan was on this card, but maybe not. 3 a.m. on April 8th on ESPN+. Plus, Kenshiro Taraji versus Anthony Alascuagua. 12 rounds for Taraji's WBC and WBA junior flyweight titles. Tenshin Nasukawa versus Yuki Yohana, 6 rounds junior featherweights. And then Takuma Inoue versus Laborio Solis, 12 rounds for the vacant WBA bantamweight title. April 8th from San Antonio on the zone, Jesse Bam Rodriguez versus Christian Gonzalez, 12 rounds for the WBO vacant flyweight title. Mojdan Akhmadiliev versus Marlon Topales, 12 rounds for Akhmadiliev's WBA and IBF junior featherweight titles. Raymond Ford versus Jesse Magdaleno. Thomas Matisse versus Ramiro Cessna. Galaya Fai versus, wait a second here, he just fought. What is going on with this? All right. Anyway, those are the ones next week in just those top three in San Antonio on the zone. Carson California on Showtime. Sebastian Fandora, this is also on Saturday, versus Brian Mendoza, 12 rounds for Fandora's WBC interim junior middleweight title. Brandon Lee versus Pedro Campa, 10 rounds junior welterweights. And then Luis Nunez versus Christian Olivo, 8 rounds featherweights. B, let's start with the Shakur fight, the Shakur versus Yoshino. This is Shakur, this is a highlight for Shakur here.
Yeah.
We know Shakur is going to win. What are you looking for in this match?
Make sure he doesn't take his eye off the prize, because when you get these types of fights, when you're the heavy favorite, it sometimes gets hard to get up for these fights. When he sees guys like Devin Haney fighting Lomachenko, he sees guys like Tank Davis fighting Ryan Garcia, and I got to take opponents like this with all due respect. I mean, solid guy, but
yeah,
nowhere near the level. Eventually, like, there's got to be some type of letdown, right? So he's just got to stay focused, and, you know, his time will come. And I think Bob really wants to give him the winner of Lomachenko versus Devin Haney. Neither guy really sounds too enthusiastic about fighting Shakur Stevenson. Unfortunately, Shakur may be avoided, right? So I'm not sure like what's going through his mind, but I think the big thing is just staying focused and again, not trying to look too far ahead and just deal with what's in front of you, because we see guys who sometimes become complacent in there when they don't get those big fights that they want. And, you know, a lot of times these fights can sometimes become banana peels, but I'm not going to be expecting any surprises in this one, if I'm being honest.
No, I'm not either. I look for Shakur to try to get him out of there. I don't want to see a unanimous decision from him. I want to see him try to get him out of there. Do you like the Haney versus Shakur fight? I mean, why, if I'm top rank, why do I do that? What's the point of that? I feel like I got two stars right here that don't need each other. And that fight is not a great fight as far as a fan-friendly fight. Don't get me wrong, but that's a horrible fight to watch if you're just a casual fan.
I think Top Rank is more invested in Shakur because they're not sure if Devin's going to stay with them after this fight, because they're like, this is the last fight on the contract.
Yeah.
So they know that you know, they have an investment in Shakur Stevenson, and they probably think he would win the fight anyway. I'm sure they probably may think, this is my opinion, that Shakur is the best fighter they have in and around those weight classes of, you know, 130 to 147-ish. I think they feel like he's the best fighter, and I would agree with them. I just think the upside to Shakur is probably greater. As much as I think Devin Haney is a good fighter, I think Shakur is probably better than Devin Haney. He's more well-rounded. I think he just has all around a better skilled fighter. So I think they want to invest in Shakur Stevenson because I think they believe he's the future for them. And Devin Haney, as good as he is, may not be, right?
Or he may just be on his way out, and they know that. That could be
true. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because I think Devin Haney he's talking about moving to 140, but now they're kind of second-guessing that decision because they see that there's some money still down here at 135, and they're looking at that Tank Garcia fight. I think a lot of people are going to look at that fight, and they're going to have their eyes on that to see how well that fight does, and they're probably going to want the winner because that could be the money fight in the division. The winner of that fight could be the money fight in that division. And I think a lot of these other fighters are probably trying to target that. But question is, if Tank wins, he's got that trial coming up in May. So it's hard for me to envision him not getting any type of jail time.
He's going
to
get some jail time out of it.
So he'll probably be on the shelf for a little while. And then, like I said, Devin Haney doesn't seem too enthusiastic about fighting a guy like Shakur. I mean, they don't really talk about him too much. And when Bill Haney was asked about it, they kind of like, well, you know, we haven't seen any paperwork about that, but, we're just going to focus on what we got right now. But they have no problem talking about Tank and Ryan, so.
Well, right, but, I mean, what is Shakur, you're not going to get any money for that fight.
It's a high risk, maybe.
It's a high risk, very low reward. I mean, so you beat Shakur Stevens, so what? Nobody knows who he is. People know who Devin Haney is now. He's more popular than Shakur. You know, I think people know who Devin Haney is.
Yeah,
they know who Ryan Garcia, they know who Tank is, and those are the ones they want to see. Shakur's on the up and comer, you know.
Devin Haney's getting invited to Saudi, he's being invited to big events. He's in Saudi the other day with Mike, sitting next to Mike Tyson and all those guys, and he's fought for Undisputed in Australia. So, I mean, he's gotten some exposure, but unfortunately, Shakur Stevenson's kind of flown under the radar. But Bob Arum, during an interview recently, said that they're looking to give him that push, right? So,
yeah, and he needs that push. He does. I mean, and this is a guy with a silver medal. You know, I mean, but you know what's been killing him? He's been getting his early career. He's getting in trouble. I think he's on the straight and narrow now. But look, man,
He just needs that breakthrough fight. I kind of thought that the Valdez fight would have been that fight for him, but he really didn't get any buzz after that fight. I thought maybe he would have, but he didn't.
He really didn't. I thought he should have, but he didn't. Nobody capitalized on that, you know. Let's see here. Talk about that Carson California, the Showtime show. I'm not crazy. I mean, the Sebastian Fundora, Brian Mendoza, it'll be okay. It'll be a good fight, good main event.
Yeah.
The one I'm more interested in is Brandon Lee versus Pedro Campa, though. I want to see how Brandon Lee looks because he's one of the up-and-coming guys. You know, I want to see how he looks here stepping up, you know.
Yeah, this is kind of like a litmus test type fight.
Yeah,
see
for
if
sure.
He's ready. So, yeah, I'll be keeping my eyes on that one. That could be the best fight on the card, to be honest with you.
I agree.
The Fundora fight kind of looks like a showcase fight.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's roll to the phones here. 530, Robert, you're live.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hi, Robbie. All right. Look, you guys are totally on point today. I really can't disagree with a whole
what
lot
do you mean,
you've
what
met
you mean
during
today?
The whole show.
Today? Yeah, like we're off point the other days?
No. You're totally on it today. That's what I'm saying. I'm giving you guys a compliment.
Right.
Come on.
All right. Thanks, Robbie. Thank you.
realistically, I was very disappointed in what I saw yesterday with Anthony Joshua, and I really don't know what Eddie Hearn or DAZN are going to be able to do with him, because if he fights Fury or Wilder or anybody with a pulse, the way he looked yesterday, he's going to get slaughtered. I think the only thing they can do to make any kind of money with him at this point, you can either cash him out against a Fury or a Wilder and see him get destroyed, or give him the Dillian White fight and hope to God that he actually can win that. But he looked so tentative yesterday, it was ridiculous. And Eric, I totally agree with you. Why in the hell he got rid of Robert Garcia, I have no idea. Derek James is a wonderful trainer, but I didn't see any improvement with him at all yesterday. He looked awful.
He looked like he regressed yesterday.
Yeah, he looked completely lost. I mean, nothing against Jermaine Franklin, but this is a guy that he should have taken out. It should not have went 12 rounds. You know, realistically, I think the only fight you can give him is Dillian White, because I don't see him beating Fury. I don't see him beating Wilder. I don't see him beating Joe Joyce. I don't see him beating any of those guys, not the way he looked yesterday.
No.
Let me ask you this, Robbie.
Okay.
Let's put the managerial hat on right now. If you're handling Joshua right now, do you take the Fury fight because that's the biggest payday out there, and there's a risk if you take the White fight you could lose it and then that Fury fight goes away, or do you go for White next and you roll the dice? Because they've already indicated that Fury fight may not be there again, so
yeah.
Do you pass it up?
I agree with you, Joe. Eddie Hearn looked extremely disappointed yesterday. I don't know what you do, because you can take the Fury fight for the most money, but how competitive will Anthony Joshua be, considering the way he looked? You know, yesterday he looked so intimidated by a smaller guy, like he was afraid to actually do damage. I don't get it. I mean, he jabbed the guy to death, but he didn't use his size. He didn't use his inside game. He didn't do anything that he should have done.
Yeah, his power punch output was way down in this fight. I looked at the punch stats. Like 60% of the punches he threw were jabs. Like, he didn't even follow up after throwing the jab. Very, very rarely did he follow up.
I'll be honest, I don't mind that. I don't mind if you're jabbing. But you look at, say, like Klitschko's jab, and you look at Joshua's jab. There's a big difference between those two.
Yeah.
He can control the fight with his jab. Joshua can't control the fight with his jab.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Joshua
well,
should be able to control the fight with his jab. That's the problem.
Well, the problem is, too, in the second half of the fight, he starts parring with it because I think he's afraid of gassing out. He's concerned about gassing out.
They got to get that guy on the cardio or something like that.
No,
he's 255.
That's another thing. He's got to be at least 225.
Got to get him on some EPO or something.
He weighed way too much yesterday for that fight.
And he said in an interview, he was like, "Well, I really don't watch my weight when I'm, you know, because he's a heavyweight. He doesn't really watch his weight. Look, whatever. Yeah, we all know that's nonsense.
Come on, man.
But you come in at a 255. I don't care how you looked. Is not good, especially if you've got stamina problems."
I'm a weekend warrior.
230, son.
I'm a weekend warrior, and I weigh myself a couple times a week. I mean,
everybody does. Yeah, for sure. You know,
Eric, I think 6'6" and 230 would be perfect for him. I mean, come on, that was way too heavy yesterday, and he's always had stamina issues. Well, one of the main reasons is he can't stay away from the food. You know.
Well, I mean, he's a big guy. I mean, he's muscled up. I mean,
I
think to me, he's got to lose some of that muscle.
You know what I think it is? I think genetically he's just predisposed to put on muscle, and I think it's hard for him to not like. I think it's hard for him to not be big, to be honest with you, because he's training, and I think everything. I think he just puts on size. He's not fat by any means, right? But I just think he just has that propensity to put on muscle.
With cardio exercise, though, I would keep him out of the weight room.
Yeah,
with cardio,
maybe,
you're not going to build muscle through cardio.
Well, it's funny, though. They said that he really didn't do much weight training, right, at all. I think that he didn't do any from what they said, so I don't know.
But then how does he gain that weight? They got to fix his diet then. If that's
probably
the case, then they have to fix his diet. Because he's not fat.
Maybe.
I mean, he's not fat.
Not
I mean,
fat
he,
at
looks,
all.
He looks like, you know, an Adonis or a bodybuilder, you know. But for stamina issues, and he knows he has stamina issues, coming into 255, you're not doing yourself any favors.
No.
I mean,
just
have, I don't know.
Just facts. I mean,
yeah.
There you go.
No, I honestly don't know what Eddie Hearn and DAZN and people that are around Joshua are going to do at this point, because now if I'm Fury or any of these other guys that I mentioned that he could lose to, you know, all those fighters are going to look at that fight yesterday and go, well, gee, I want to fight him. I could beat the hell out of him. You know, so he might actually
he should
get,
have a line at his door today. Yeah,
he might actually get some significant offers, because the way he looked yesterday, a lot of those heavyweights are going to say, well, heck, I could get a piece of that, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't
Joe
know
Ramos
what they do.
Hit the nail on the head. He said AJ is just going through the motions and collecting a check. That's exactly what he looked like yesterday.
Yep, that's
exactly what he looked like.
He looked awful yesterday.
There he goes. All right, Robert, we're going to get running here. I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold. And we're going to go to Toledo. It looks like Toledo. 419, Title Town, baby. 419, you're live.
Yeah, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm fine. Okay, now, with the person who's talking, this is what happened. I agree with you. Teddy, this is how Teddy lost his job. He lost his job. Remember when? remember when?
Go ahead.
When Pacquiao fought Horn, and Mark Kriegel, that was his first time being on ESPN broadcast, right? Him and Teddy had got into it. Teddy was like, "Who are you? Which you know, what type of boxing history are you know, or what type of experience you have about boxing?" Because old boy was kind of getting his ass whooped, but the ref wasn't, you know, I forget that fight, but I know Horn won, and the reason why he didn't renew his contract is because of Mark Kriegel, because really that was Teddy's job, but I don't know why they brought in Mark Kriegel. Maybe Mark Kriegel had like knew somebody up at the top, because I never knew Kriegel as a boxing dude. I never did either. And
didn't Kriegel used to work for Showtime before?
I think so, but not doing
didn't
no
Kriegel
boxing.
Used to
maybe
work for Showtime before?
Maybe Showtime Sports, just doing some type of sports. He may be a sports guy, but I never know him to be a be a boxing guy until I seen him on ESPN. But far as Fury and Franklin goes, let's just cut to the chase. You know, and you guys know this too. Fury is not, you know, fundamentally sound. You know, he's a big guy who won the Olympic gold medal. On his yes, I'm sorry, I said Fury. Yes, Joshua. Thank you.
Yeah, Joshua
is the guy who won the
gold
medal.
Put those two in the same sentence. Greatest heavyweight of all time.
right. Thank you, bro. Joshua, he won the gold medal on his height and strength alone, and all you got to do is know how to throw a jab, you know, or a hook, which he does know how to do that. But the fundamental skills are not there with him and Deontay Wilder. Just now, you know, I got to call Deontay Wilder out too. That's why he lost to Fury really three times, and it was I don't believe that bullshit was the water was spiked. Mark Breland and all that bullshit. That's bullshit. He just got his ass kicked. Joshua, he's not ready for Joyce yet. He needs to take on fighters like Jermaine Franklin. You know, Jermaine Franklin is better than Charles Martin. Okay, I believe Jermaine Franklin will beat Takam, somebody like that. But you have to give him a chance to grow also, because he went straight in there with White, and after White he gets Joshua. So really, if you think about it, that really wasn't fair to him, but he was willing to accept the challenge. So, but now they can really kind of grow Franklin's career with maybe three 2 to 3 fights, you know, with good opposition where he, I think he beats Takam. I think he beats a few other guys like a Michael Coffey who fought yesterday. I'm not sure if Coffey won or not. I didn't see that one. But I'm going to say this about the two. I'm going to go to the two good contenders who were on
ESPN.
Coffey
got knocked out yesterday. Coffey knocked out Michael Coffey. Yeah, he got knocked out.
Okay. Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me. I used to root for Coffey when he was up and coming, being from the service and all that. Now, these last two fighters I'm going to get to. Tiger Johnson, he needs to continue to fight that type of opposition. Oliveira, is that how you pronounce his name?
I think so, yeah.
Oliveira, yeah. He needs to fight that competition. He doesn't need to go backwards from that. Continue to fight fighters that give you trouble. And the guy Tucker looked real good for his first time at 154, fighting at 152. He really needs to take his career on like a medium path. We know you can take a punch now, and you can fight with the heavy-handed guys. But they need to like my man said earlier, I'm gonna put on my managerial hat. He needs to just be, you know, not protected, but you know what I mean? He needs to fight good, solid fighters that has skill like him, but you know, who he can beat before messing around with the 154 elite.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Toledo, my friend, that was great, man.
Thank you.
That was a great call. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. Let's see here. 71. Let's go to 716. 716, you're live. 716, you're live. Maybe not. 716 is not live. All right, let's go to 708. 708, you're live.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Excellent, man. I just started listening to your show. You know, it's hard to get good boxing quality content out here. You guys are really doing your thing.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Who are we speaking with?
Oh, this is Callie from Chicago.
Callie from Chicago, okay.
A lot of Chicago people calling in, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You love me in Chicago.
You know, it's hard to get a good boxing out there. I used to listen to the Sean Porter show, but that show was basically all about him, and the boxing voice is just...
Yeah, it's
it sounded like the wolf whining all the time. I just want to talk about from the business side. Do you think Fury did the right thing? Because now he's got a huge payday with Joshua, and the Usyk fight is still out there afterwards.
I tell you, we're going to talk about that. We might as well get into it now. So let's talk about Khabib, and you can stay on the line. You can listen to us and chime in if you want. So Fury, I guess there was an interview. Khabib sent me this interview with Bob Arum just a few days ago, and he basically said that, yeah, you have to consider the Saudi money, you know, because Saudi offered him in Usyk a large amount, you know, a large amount of money. They can't really do the fight because it's during Ramadan now. You know, and to throw it together and everything like that, it would be really difficult. So they want the fight later on down the road this year. So, and apparently they're offering a lot more money, which they can because they're Saudi and they got all the money on the planet. I think it was a great move by Fury. I know he ducked him, and you could say he ducked him, and he did. But overall, I think everybody's going to get paid here.
Yeah.
Hey, I agree. I think
my take on
Fury...
the whole thing.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, my take on the whole thing, too, was I think both sides knew they had a better deal if they waited. So I think they both waited. And again, it's better for the promotion for Fury to be the bad guy here because it just makes the fight bigger. It drums up more interest. And if you read his book, he does this on purpose to try to get under his opponent's skin. Like, this is all part of the plan.
Yeah.
And all these people who hate him,
They're going to buy this fight just to see him lose. So he has no problem playing the bad guy. He knows he's never going to be adored in the UK like Anthony Joshua is. So he might as well just market himself the way he's been marketing himself. He's almost like the Donald Trump of boxing. Like, if you're a diehard Fury fan, no matter what he does, you're going to go with him. And then if you're not, then you're out. You're going to continue to talk about him, like, just like all these networks that have all these Donald Trump stories. All they do is just give him more attention, and they actually help him more than they hurt him. So all these people who criticize Fury, they just drum up the interest more for him and for his fights, and they just make him bigger. So I think this is all part of the playbook. I think both sides knew that the timing wasn't right for this fight, and Saudi pretty much told them that, and they said, well, we'll revisit this back later in the year, probably in December. There's just too much money. There's three times more the amount of money in Saudi than there is in the UK. I honestly believe this fight was never going to be in the UK. I think it was always destined for Saudi. Just my opinion.
There you go.
Also, I just want to give you guys my little prediction heads up. We got Bam Rodriguez going next week on the Zone, and right now it's even money to him for him to win by TKO. So just look out for that, guys.
All right.
And you guys have
will
to
do. Hey, you too. Thanks, man. Brother. Thank you so much, brother. All right. Let's go to – I think Tyson Fury, I'll tell you what. First of all, boxing, thank you so much. He said Fury didn't duck Usyk. He just took a sick day. There you go. I think Fury tries to play the bad guy. I think everybody knows Fury's playing the bad guy, though, and I think that's the difference between, like, him and Mayweather. Like, Mayweather was getting in trouble and this and that, and Fury, you just have a sense that he's just playing. With everything he does,
he's just drooling, and I think he loves to create chaos. That's just who he is.
I'll tell you why he's going to be a good guy for life, no matter what, because he opened up about his mental illness. He opened up about that. He let the people in. He wrote a book on that. He wrote a book on all this stuff from him going to where he was at, you know, champion to 400 pounds back to champion. It's hard. It's hard to not like the guy. It really is. He does dumb stuff. I agree. You know, it's all premeditated, obviously, but it's hard for you not to like that.
Yeah.
He's definitely
a family man. Yeah. He's got kids. He's just, I don't know. I know a lot of people get irritated by him because he like kind of leads you on
for sure.
I don't know. There's certain guys that like have that type of persona, like guys like Prince Nassim Ahmed. Like I always was entertained by him. Certain guys that have that cockiness to them, that kind of bravado to them, I kind of buy into certain guys that do it. Certain guys, when they do it, it just doesn't appeal to me. But Fury is one of those guys that I kind of get a kick out of it. I'm just being honest.
Ahmed was like that. Yeah, you're right. Ahmed was like that. Fury's like that. Mayweather was just not like that, though.
Yeah, just like guys like Mayweather and McGregor. I don't know. I can't relate to those guys.
Yeah, it's tough. Let's go to, I believe this is Ahmed. Let me see if this is Ahmed here. 1111 here. That's usually overseas, but we'll find out. You're live. Is this Ahmed?
Yeah, hello. How's it good? Yeah, how's it good?
All right, there we go. Good, man.
What's up, brother?
Yeah, nothing much. I did rewatch the highlights, and I seen a bit of the fight again. I don't think it was a great performance, but I will give Joshua some credit because he came in quite heavy and he managed to keep his endurance and dominate the second half. My only critique would be for the people who are overzealously defending his performance and saying there was nothing wrong would be, I don't think Franklin was that good because at least with Carlos Takam, the guy was rated world level and he had pretty much beat some guys. With Franklin, I don't know who he's really beat. I know he gave Dillashaw White a good fight, but that's nothing really to harp on about. Like, that would be my criticism, because if Fury, Wilder, Usyk, any of these other guys went the distance with Franklin and looked like that, I would be just as critical. I know people keep going on about the two losses to Usyk, but when Wilder lost to Fury in the two fights, he didn't just get beaten up and schooled. He got knocked out, obliterated, and he took two really bad, physically damaging defeats. With AJ, he lost and he got outboxed, but he didn't really take much punishment. So I don't know. I think he should maybe have one more fight, but I think he's still got to try and maximize him and make him fight some of the other top guys, because see if he gets knocked out by Miller or some of these other guys, I'm not sure where he goes.
There you go. All right, Hamed. Thank you so much, brother. We appreciate it. That guy is in England calling us. What time is it over there, B? What is it like?
12.
Crazy.
12. I think it's 12 a.m.
Crazy. That's crazy. Thank you so much for that support, man. 410, Baltimore. I am king of Baltimore. 410, you're live.
You're the king of Baltimore?
I am the king of Baltimore.
I thought you retired, man. I was getting worried about you, man. I thought after getting all that
man,
work
I thought, yeah, I got to be honest with you, man. I'm going to let you call. I'm going to let you go on this call because I got worried about you.
You are going to be uninterrupted for this call because we don't want to scare you off like we did.
Yeah, I felt bad about that. I felt bad about that, so I'm going to let you go.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead,
man.
Well, no reason to feel bad. I called you guys to discuss boxing content. I don't want to be an adversary. I don't want to disagree just to disagree. My opinions on things may differ from yours, but that's about it for me. One thing I do want to ask you is your title here says Joshua proves he's the uncrowned champion. Is that sarcasm or do you mean that?
I'll let you figure that out. Did you listen to the show?
No, I just got in. I'm outside working.
All right, well, go back and listen to it, and that'll answer your question.
Well, I was listening to a show, and I was listening to a bunch of stuff the other night after the fight, and Joshua was receiving a ton of criticism in the fight. And I'm not the biggest Anthony Joshua fan, but I told him, I said, listen, man, get off this guy's back, man. I mean, look, he's coming off of two losses where he went from being on the top of the hill with most of the belts to losing twice back-to-back, no belt. He was off for a while. He's coming back. This is a get-back fight. And his opponent, which I didn't know a whole lot about, that guy proved to be a fairly durable fighter. He's not a Hall of Fame great, no, but he proved in that fight with Joshua, a pretty durable guy, pretty solid fighter. I mean, not a household name, like I said, no Hall of Famer, but he didn't really appear to be a total bum. And Anthony Joshua wanted to get back on the winning side of things, at least, you know, and put himself in line for maybe a monumental payday against Tyson Fury. And, you know, I thought those criticisms I was hearing, it was just a little, you know, a little unfair. However, at the same time, and again, not knowing if that's satire that you have there or you mean that, I definitely don't believe he's the uncrowned champion. He's got a ways to go. I've never been impressed with the fighters that he beat coming up. I mean, and they weren't bombs. I realize that, but you know, to me, you know, I'm far more impressed with Tyson Fury ending the reign of Klitschko and ending the reign of one of the most dangerous punchers in heavyweight boxing history, Deontay Wilder. And speaking of Fury, maybe you guys can let me know. I followed the negotiations with him and USEC. Fury's getting a lot of heat that he ducked the fight or something, but it appears to me that the fight was there for USEC. He just didn't want to accept all the terms. He didn't want to accept the terms that Fury put in front of him. And so, I don't know. I mean, I don't know for sure why the negotiations fell apart. But like I say, from what I could see, the fight was there for USEC if he wanted it, but he didn't like the terms, and so he turned it down.
They gave in, USEC's people gave in to every possible demand. And from what I understand, everything I've read and heard on the YouTube and everything, all the interviews and everything we've gotten, he just kept demanding more. Not USEC, Fury. They would agree to every one of his demands, and then Fury would bring something else out. And then they would agree to it, and they would bring something else out.
Okay, but to be specific, we're talking about the heavyweight division, so obviously there's no weight restrictions or re-weigh-ins. What
A lot of it had to do with the rematch clause. A lot of it had to do with rematch clauses, money in the rematch clauses, that sort of deal.
I see. I've seen a video with Tyson Fury where he says he agreed to the rematch clause that he says Usyk wanted. Fury, bouncing off of what Beav said, Fury doesn't bother me. I've always believed guys like him are just great for boxing because he's a bit outlandish. And just the characterization of that, boxing a lot of times has had to do not just with the fighter themselves and how they perform, but the personality. Ali is a great example. Hamed was a huge star at featherweight. And, yeah, a good portion of it was he was exciting and a power puncher, but it was also the other things that he brought. And so it's hard for me to discourage even Adrian Broner, who I think is kind of corny. It's hard for me to discourage guys who behave that way because I think it helps promote them and in an overall sense the sport. But I can see where some people, you know, Fury's inconsistent. One day he'll say, you know, I'm only going to fight for free, and then he'll come out and say, I want $40 million. This is all part of his I think it's very, very calculated when he does this type of stuff, because he knows that if he's outlandish, the more people talk about him, the more they think he's outlandish, the more fans he's going to get, because you guys know, like I know, that every great fighter, every popular fighter has a bunch of fans, and then they have a whole bunch of detractors, Mayweather, Ali, you name it, right on down the line, but those detractors are going to pay to watch you fight, you see? They're going to pay oftentimes more than your fans will pay because they so badly want to see you lose and things like that. And Fury seems to have a far better idea of how to play with that whole dynamic far more than a lot of other fighters do. Plus, you know, he's a bit of a silly heart, I guess, you know. But to me, Fury's the top dog. I don't see nobody in that division beating him. And in my personal opinion, the only guy that has a real chance, even though it's slight, and I wouldn't pick him to beat him, is Deontay Wilder. He's the only guy with the power and the length and the tools, I think, to get to Fury to possibly get him out. And like I say, I wouldn't pick him if they fought a fourth time. I would certainly pick Fury. But I just don't think Usyk is the guy. I really don't, you know.
There you go. All right, Jerry, yeah. We're going to get running, man. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, I told him I'd let him run uninterrupted. I told him I didn't want to, you know. I knew
that was,
come
that was
back.
A nice long call you gave him, too, man.
I did. I gave him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm going to be honest, man. I kind of miss Jerry, man. He didn't call for a while.
I'm the king of Baltimore now. Listen, I'm the king of Baltimore. Sometimes it takes time to come back from that. You know what I mean? Look, if your title was taken, sometimes it's hard. You know,
I was a little worried, man. I'm glad he's back, though. I'm just being honest.
I'm okay. I'm okay. He crawled out of the body bag I gave him. It's okay. It's all good. Let's see here. Stop it. What's the matter with you? I think that right now, Jared Anderson. I'm just saying, Jared Anderson. I heard rumors, just rumors. I don't know, but you know, they came from a couple different sources. That Jared Anderson is the one that knocked out Tyson Fury in sparring. He was beating Fury, and that's why he canceled that second. That's why he postponed that second Wilder fight. That's what I heard. What I heard.
I was in the video. This was in a video game. It wasn't real life.
It's what I heard, son. It's what I heard. What I heard. What I heard, son. That's what. That's the word around the campfire. You know where Jared Anderson's from, son? Go ahead. Say it. Let them know.
Ohio.
Title town, Ohio. Son. To say it. To say it.
Ohio.
Say it with some conviction. Title town. See, those Reds are 2-1 now. Getting ready to win the World Series here. Rolling, buddy. Rolling. All right. Stephen Fulton and Nayoa Inoue has been rescheduled for July 25th. Babe, I like that fight. I like that fight a lot. I think Inoue wins,
awesome
but
fight.
That's a step up, man.
Great fight, bro.
I would like to see Raissa Lean fight Nayoa Inoue. I don't think that'll happen. Well, I guess he had that bad performance or whatever, but I always pull for Raissa Lean. You know what I mean? I think he's one of the better fighters in
there. He was real cool when we had him on, man.
He was awesome when we had him on, yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy came here to see the bead. Look at this. All right. Look at that. He said, let him get a word in. I came here for him.
Be the Maniacs. They're in full force tonight, baby. The Be the Maniacs.
Baby. They're in full force.
Stop the Be the Maniacs. Be the Maniacs.
Be the Maniacs. And some sad news to report before we sign off here. Ken Buchanan has passed away at the age of 77. For all of those people who don't know who Ken Buchanan was, I can't imagine there's many of them, but you didn't know. He was the first undisputed lightweight champion, and he's known for his fight with Roberto Duran. That fight, Buchanan was hit low in the 13th round. It could not come out for the 14th, giving Duran the win and the title. But it really should have been a disqualification because Duran clearly hit him low. And he, I guess, you know, I remember watching that fight, and I know Duran, they said Duran was ahead on the scorecards. That looked like a pretty close fight to me, B.
It was very close, man.
I was surprised. They said he was ahead and, you know, on all the scorecards and everything and comfortable and everything because I tell you what, man, that was – Ken Buchanan could fight, man. And then they showed – did you ever see the video of him when he was, like, older and he's in the gym hitting that bag? He looked like he hadn't even lost a step, son. I mean, that guy was
cool,
magic,
man.
Boy. Yeah, he was something else. Yeah, so – definitely, definitely thoughts out to his family and friends and everything and everybody who knew him. So, man, you lost a big one there, man. That's for sure. All right, guys, listen, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And we will see you guys next week.